Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners, this is Radio Ma'arif. The name of our program is Q&A, Question and Answers. I'm Muhammad Javad Mu'afi, the host to the program. Now, here we are with Hujjat al-Islam Barati. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. As the name suggests, the name of our program suggests, we are about to actually answer some of the, or provide answers to some of the questions raised and given to us by dear listeners. Now, I'm going to tend to the first one. But first, let me give you my website, www.radiomaarif.ir. Our email address is radiomaarif@irib.ir. Our telephone number is 0098-251-291-0551 or, the local number 291-0552. The first question is about some special festivals such as Christmas. One of the listeners raised this question. He said that I've recently heard that it's a form of shirk to give Christmas presents. Is it also shirk to accept Christmas presents within any profession? I receive many Christmas presents, so I really appreciate your response.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This kind of judgment upon Christmas is not accepted because it is a view of some minority groups in Islam,
right?
Like Wahhabis and Salafis. They say that celebration, they don't say only for Christmas. They say all kind of celebration for birth anniversaries or demise anniversaries.
Wedding.
Of saints and prophets,
right,
and religious leaders is shirk. And we cannot agree with them because even they don't have enough proofs and reasons for it. But in other hand, we cannot agree with all of the ceremonies and festivals, as he told, or programs which are popular in the West in the name of Christmas or birthday of Jesus Christ. We cannot agree with all of them.
Right.
But giving gifts and presents and receiving gifts and presents should not be shirk. In the worst cases, they are haram. And
yes,
even for being haram, the one who claims, he should bring an evidence.
Yes, exactly.
Or a reason from the Sharia itself. Because these are categorized in a group of deeds and actions and practices.
Yes.
And shirk and tawhid are categorized in mind and belief and creeds and dogmas.
Yeah.
So no single action could be shirk.
Right.
Because shirk and tawhid are not in the category of deeds and behaviors.
Right.
They are in category of beliefs and creeds and ideas. So what is told is not true. But in other hand, we cannot agree with all ceremonies or festivals or customs or things are done in the name of Jesus Christ. In regard of gifts, no problem. Not only it is not shirk, maybe it is not haram even, because there is no proof. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household was loving gift and present.
Yes.
And always was giving gifts and gifts and presents to his friends, Muslims or non-Muslims, and was receiving gifts from friends, Muslims or non-Muslims.
Right.
It is famous of
yes.
Prophet Muhammad
yes.
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
I've heard it too.
That he liked
yes.
giving present.
Yes.
And there is a narration and tradition from his eminence. He says, "Tahadu tahabbu."
Yes.
Gift each other or give present to each other, it makes love and friendship. So this is a sunnah from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give and receive gifts and presents.
Right.
how they say it is Sheikh. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. The next question is about Fiqh. Can you define the word Fiqh and describe its sources as a science?
Would you please do that? The word Fiqh, in regard of terminology, means knowledge, deep knowledge, profound knowledge, not ordinary knowledge.
Right.
Because ordinary knowledge is called in Arabic ilm.
Yes.
Al-ilm. But when it is a concrete or deep or profound knowledge,
yes,
it is called fiqh. And this is a verbal meaning, but in idioms and expressions, Islamic idioms and expressions, fiqh has another meaning. Fiqh has meaning of the sort of knowledge about decrees in Islam.
Right.
Haram and halal and wajib and mustahab, rituals or, for example, deals, what Islam judged about this kind of action, that kind of action, what is recommended, what is prohibited. This branch of knowledge talks about deeds and actions and behaviors, which one is accepted in Islam, which one is not accepted, which one is ordered, which one is invalidated, and like this. So now the famous meaning of fiqh is this branch of knowledge. So every Muslim, every individual Muslim should know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should know his prophet, should know what is asked by Allah, what is ordered by Allah, what is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Muslim means the one who surrenders himself to his Lord.
Yes.
To his God. So what is surrendering? Surrendering is obedience.
Right.
Surrendering is
worshipping.
Worshipping. So we should know what Allah has told, what wants and what does not want to follow.
Yes.
To practice, to implement. This is fiqh. Fiqh is Islamic jurisprudence.
Yes.
In English they call it.
Yes.
Fiqh is Islamic law. Fiqh is Islamic life, lifestyle. What I avoid and what I do as obligation. This is fiqh.
Thank you very much. But would you talk about the sources as well? Because how did he get it from?
I referred.
Yes.
I get it from Allah. And a reliable source from Allah, which is Prophet, peace be upon him. And after Prophet, I take it from his successors.
Yes.
And the leaders which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has appointed for me and told me to follow them and obey them and ask them. And in Shia school of thought, we consider resources for fiqh, sources for fiqh, first of all, Holy Quran, the book of Allah,
yes,
revelation of Allah directly to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first source of fiqh. Secondly is Prophet Muhammad's sunnah,
right,
and seerah, which means lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he has done,
his conduct,
because he is symbol, he is model for me.
Yes.
Secondly, sunnah and seerah. Thirdly, al-ijma' they call it, and in fourth, it is aql, reason.
Yeah, intellect.
Intellect. Yes. So these are the main sources for fiqh. Everybody should go to the special books, or for example academic books, or books which experts has wrote about this knowledge, and find it in the resources.
What if some of these sources actually contradict each other? For example, Prophet's way of life actually, or as has been narrated, somehow contradictory to the idea of, for example, what is presented in the Quran.
Yes, there is not a real contradiction between these four sources, because what Allah says, Prophet also follows and orders the same thing. Prophet does not contradict Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will or order. And also Muslims, they don't contradict what Allah and his Prophet ask them. And everything is told by Allah and Prophet is according to intellect and reason.
Right.
normally. But in narrations, maybe you can find sometimes contradiction or
conflicts,
ambiguity,
yes,
or makes you perplexed.
Yes.
In this time, there are some regulations, uh-huh, there are some solutions,
yes,
given by Quran, given by Sunnah, given by leaders,
yes,
how we can solve this contradiction.
Uh-huh.
And these are explained in the branch of knowledge, which is called Roots of Jurisprudence,
right,
or Usul al-Fiqh.
I see.
For example, if there is a contradiction between what is called Sunnah or Hadith and Quran.
Right.
In this time, Quran is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
If the meaning of Quran is clear, you should leave the tradition, you should leave the narration. And if the verse of Quran is also not clear,
right,
there are other ways. Go to other verses, because Quran has mentioned this in numerous verses. You can make a kind of a combination between all of them, or comparison between them. And also there are some knowledges helping in this regard, like what is called today hermeneutics, or
yes,
special knowledge for explanation and commentary of holy books, holy scripts.
Right.
There are certain methods and solutions in these knowledges. They help us to find the reality and remove the apparent contradiction,
mm-hmm,
or what is seemed contradiction.
Contradictory, yes, exactly. So it's actually a science, truly.
Yeah,
you know. Thank you very much for this nice explanation. The next question was actually a question which was asked a Muslim by a non-Muslim. Well, the question was this: why are certain animals haram and some of them are not? What is the reason? How could a Muslim actually explain this to a non-Muslim? Would you, mm-hmm, please just give a clear-cut answer?
Yes. This is difference between Muslim and non-Muslim. As I explained in former question,
yes,
Muslim is the one who surrenders,
yes,
himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Islam huwa taslim,
right,
to surrender to Allah, to obey Allah.
Okay.
And obedience to Allah is to follow what he says. If he says you eat this and don't eat that, you do this and don't do that, you accept and follow.
Mm-hmm.
But for a non-Muslim, for sure does not accept the religion of,
right,
Islam. Maybe is not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe is not believing in prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he believed, he was Muslim.
Yes.
So before we help him to become a Muslim, we should talk him in a way that make a kind of approach for him to,
right,
this issue, and he can understand by a kind of rational way of thinking,
yes,
why this is haram and why this is halal. Why here means according to his language, to his logic,
right,
to his method of thinking, which is rational. It's,
right,
supposed that if he is not or she is not a religious person, at least is a rational,
right,
thinker. Is a wise person,
mm-hmm,
is an intellectual.
Yes.
So, yes, in this way, we should bring for him or her reasons from the intellect, from the reason, from the wisdom, that there are some benefits here. Because of that, it became obligatory or right. is recommended. And there are some losses and harms there. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited it and invalidated it. We can do it. Unfortunately, in Islam, everything is ordered, is beneficial, is useful for the person, even in this world, yes. even in this life, materialistic life.
Right.
And everything is haram, is, for example, illegalized, is harmful.
Yes.
And these animals, which you mentioned, today they could understand and they could find and discover some of the losses and harms inside them, like pork.
Yes.
Pork's meat has a different, for example, problems for health of men and for their, for example, psychology and behavior in different regards. Rather than the losses for hygiene, which yes. is, you cannot find these losses in meat of cow or meat of ram or yes. like this. So it is possible to bring evidences and reasons for a non-Muslim to can accept. For example, wine is haram in Islam
yes.
because wine removes the intellect,
yes.
removes the control.
Yeah, soberness.
Man's behavior. The
consciousness. Of
yeah, consciousness. Yeah. So because of that, it is haram. And it is promised to us in Islam that everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits for you, it was because of you only. Allah
yes.
does not want to prevent you from some benefits or interests.
Yes, exactly.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help you to gain your benefits and to be avoided and kept safeguard from losses and dangers. It is possible.
Yes. You know, I'm just going to add some comments. Maybe it's not difficult for us as Muslims, you know, to accept Islam because Islam is all about surrendering to Allah and worshiping God. But, you know, it's a little bit difficult actually to explain this to a non-Muslim because you have to tell them actually wine is, you know, haram and then pork, you know, the other animals' meat are not really recommended. So we consider them haram. So you shouldn't eat them, you know. It's not very easy, actually, for them to accept. Maybe if they were Muslims, they would easily accept it. But now they are in the process of research. They are going to conduct some researches and say, for example, okay, this is a religion which is really comfortable. Then I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to adopt it with this religion. But if they find it difficult, maybe they don't come, you know, and you know, accept the fundamental principles of Islam, you know. Well,
yes.
This is, I guess, very important, actually.
Yes, you are right. But even by rational way of thinking, as I told you, and rationalism, it is easy to explain for people, for non-Muslims, that everything is told in Islam has a reason for it.
Yes, exactly.
Especially Islam, according to a school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, promised that everything I say, I can bring for it reasons from the intellect.
Yes.
Independently, even if you are not Muslim, you can believe in what I say.
Yes.
By a different way of thinking, by rationality.
Yes.
By wisdom. It is promised and it is possible to bring the, you know, in Islam, even we have books like Ilal al-Sharayah.
Yes.
Ilal al-Sharayah is compiled by Saduq.
Sheikh Saduq.
Sheikh Saduq, yes. Which was living in Qom for a while and now he is buried in Ray.
Yes.
Ibn Babawi.
The town of Ray. Yes.
Yeah. So he compiled, despite he was a narrator, he was muhaddith.
Yes.
Collecting narrations of yes. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his descendants,
right.
household, imams.
Nice.
But in traditions, there are a group of narrations, traditions, which brings for you reason.
Right.
intellectual, pure intellectual reasons for what is told in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And he, blessed be his soul, compiled and collected all of these narrations, which make reasoning for halal and haram in Islam,
right.
Compiled them in one book and called it Ilal al-Sharai.
Ilal
al-Sharai, you can explain the reason of commands or decrees in Islam.
Right.
Why this is halal, why that is haram, why this is obligatory, why that is not obligatory. And it is explained for people by an independent method.
Uh-huh.
Independent,
is it
rational.
Based on science?
Yeah, huh?
Is it based on science?
Based on reason.
Reason.
On reasoning.
Uh-huh.
Because pure science, modern science, was not existing at that time.
Uh-huh.
According to the mentality of people in that time, by reasoning, by argumentation, Imams alayhim salam explained there and tried to make a kind of approach to minds of people why this is haram and why this is halal.
Right.
So we have no problem in Shia school of thought for this. And you can go to this book and find it. It is compiled before 400 Islamic calendar. So more than 1,000 years ago is compiled.
Yes.
And in Qum. It's compiled in Qum.
An excellent book. Must be. You know.
Yeah. And we don't worry about this. And we are ready to discuss and debate and have dialogue with non-Muslims about Sharia. You know, they are very poor in Sharia, especially Christians. Christianity has no Sharia. They borrow it from Judaism. And the Sharia in Judaism is so tough and far from reason and reasoning.
Uh-huh.
But in Islam, it's so simple, as you told, and close,
flexible
and close to reason and reasoning.
Uh-huh.
So this is our methodology, but they, if they ask, for example, for a certain decree, we can explain for them.
You know, some centuries ago, as you also mentioned, mentality of people were, was in a way which, maybe Sheikh Sadu actually compiled that book for that time. Specifically speaking, but now that we are living in the 21st century, is science a good, let's say, a standard to base our opinions on?
Of course, we believe in a kind of link between religion and reason, between religion and science.
Right.
We don't want to mix all of these zones to each other.
I see.
Religion is religion,
right?
And reason is reason, and science is science. By in our view, they don't contradict.
Yes.
They have no conflict. They have no clash. They coincide.
Uh-huh.
And they support each other. This is our basic idea, and we can go to details and approve it. And, you know, all of the real theories in science, which emerged in recent ages and recent centuries, they were in benefit of religion, not against religion of Islam.
Uh-huh.
This is different from Christianity. Christianity is going far from mind of people and life of people as much as the science is progressing and developing.
Uh-huh.
But Islam is coming to the sin and coming to the core of the society as much as reasoning and science and knowledge is developing.
Right.
This is the difference between Islam and other religions. Abrahamic religions, because Islam is pure and Islam is kept in the original shape and way.
Right.
So we don't worry as much as, but there are some theories, some theses, maybe apparently contradicted religion. They are few. First of all, they are few, and later when you go through them and go deep to them, you find them even they are not sure.
Uh-huh.
They are not sure and they are not complete.
Yes.
And they don't seem like
stable.
Stable like religious, like science theory, scientific theories. But there is a kind of zeal and bias behind it, and they want to insist on it. Like we can say, theory of Charles Darwin.
Yes.
Charles Darwin, he himself was a religious person. He believed in God.
Yes.
Till the end of his life.
Yes.
Till the latest day. And he told many, many times that my theory is not against religion at all, mm-hmm. and against creation.
Yes.
And against creationism. I'm not against it. This theory does not mean that creation does not exist and creationism is wrong. And even he confessed many, many times that my theory is not complete, is not enough to present it as a theory.
Yes.
Because there is one circle left.
Yes.
I could not find it. It is missed. Uh-huh. If you find it, then you can present it as a theory. And
yes.
Theory is theory. Theory is not sure, is not certain, is not 100%.
Yes.
It's a suggestion.
Yes. It's an assumption, you know.
Yeah. An assumption, and in any moment could be, for example, rejected or, for example, invalidated. By even this is not a theory.
Yes.
To become a theory needs something which they didn't find it. After uh-huh. even one century,
uh-huh.
his students and student of students could not complete it.
Right.
But unfortunately, some people in the East, like Marxists and others, come to... for example, fight against religion and, for example, reject religion because of theory of Darwin, which even he is not satisfied
uh-huh.
of this kind of usage of his theory.
Yes, of course, Charles Darwinism or Darwinism itself actually takes another session. We don't want to get into detail about this. لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا بالحق جاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء لا إله إلا الله كتابنا فيه الهدى كتابنا فيه الهدى محمد النور الضياء محمد النور الضياء وصلاتنا تنهى النفوس عن الفواحش والرياء والرياء وصيامنا خير لنا وهو الدواء والشفاء وزكاتنا أمن لنا فيها الفوائد والوفاء والوفاء جاءنا بالحق جاء لا إله إلا الله إسلامنا كان الرجاء لا إله There's another, if you are finished, then I can actually skip to the next question. That's about food, and which is related to the previous subject that I raised. Well, one of the listeners asked us whether he could be a vegetarian or not. Could he become a vegetarian? Or is it in clash with or in conflict with Islam? Or
no, it's not haram in Islam to be a vegetarian. Only they recommended, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended us not to leave the meat.
Uh-huh.
For example, basically, especially for example, in 40 days, at least one time of meat we have and we serve. But it is not an obligation.
Yes.
You can base on vegetable, your food and your meals and vegetable, your nourishment. And even is better because there are some traditions that say don't make your thumbs a grave of animals. It's a prophetic tradition. لا تجعلوا بطونكم مقابر الحيوانات. Don't eat meat so much,
uh-huh.
which your thumb seems,
yes.
for example, cemetery for animals.
Yeah, your stomach becomes a cemetery.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So it is against, for example, eating meat more than necessary.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to, for example, live this kind of life and be vegetarian, no problem in Islam. It is not haram. Uh-huh. It is not against Islam.
I see. So it's not against Islamic laws to become a vegetarian.
No.
Except that tradition you mentioned from the Holy Prophet that says that. All
it
right.
is not obligation. It says, I recommend to you at least one time.
Within 40
every 40 days,
uh-huh.
at least one time, you have meat.
It's
recommendation,
uh-huh.
not, for example, prohibition or obligation.
Yes.
It's recommendation.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much. Well, you're listening to Question and Answers. This is Radio Ma'arif coming to you from the holy city of Qom, Iran. I'm Mohammad Javad Moafi, the host of the program, and our expert here was Hujjat al-Islam Abbas Ali Barati. Our website is www.radiomaarif.ir, and our email address again to you is radiomaarif@irib.ir. And our telephone number is 0098-251-291-0551, or our local number again, 291-0552. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate your time and patience. Have a nice time.
Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah ya Hannan, Allah ya Dayyan, Allah ya Hannan, Allah ya Subhan, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allahu ya Burhan, Allahu ya Sultan, Allahu ya Ghufran, Allahu ya Subhan, Allahu ya Subhan. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.